And I want to preach to you this morning about the Lamb of God. I'm glad this morning to know and to be assured of the fact that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. Amen. What that means to you and what that means to me is everything. Our whole eternity depends upon the fact that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. I understand there's a historical Jesus. There's a Jesus that's the subject of television things, and most oftentimes they're blasphemous to a large degree. I cannot participate in anybody blaspheming Jesus Christ. I laughed this morning. We loaded the bus and we were heading up, and the boys were all in the back seat, and one of the little boys began to sing "Jesus Loves Me," and I didn't even hear what he said, but he thought it would be cute to say something contrary to "Jesus Loves Me," and he said something, "Jesus something," and old Bub Travis rose up and he said, "Now stop that." He said, "Jesus ain't nothing to be made fun of. Straighten up." And they shut up, but he let them know, you know. And I'm glad they know there's a limit, amen. And I draw the line at Jesus, amen. I don't have tolerance for people that are intolerant of my Savior Jesus Christ. One of the great preachers of the past was a man named T. DeWitt Talmage. Talmage was a great speaker. I mean, he was in demand. In the 1800s, he would speak sometimes, and incredible people would come to hear him, and they published his sermons, and I believe in the New York, one of the main New York papers in the 1800s. And they asked him to come one time and pray at a large meeting, and before he got ready to pray, it was announced he'd be there, and before he got ready to pray and speak, they said, "Now, we want to ask you one thing, and that is that you not offend anyone here, and you not mention Jesus Christ. You can mention deity or God, but not Jesus. It would offend some of the people." And he looked at him and he said, "You'll have to tell the people that I'll not be speaking here." He said, "Because anywhere my Savior Jesus Christ is not welcome, nor am I welcome." And he turned around and walked out. Amen. Without Jesus, we have no salvation. Why? Because he is the Lamb of God. He's the only one that's acceptable to God. There are many religions, you might say, and you might say because of those many religions, there are many ways to God, and all that matters is sincerity, and I'd have to say to that, that's a false assumption. All that matters is the Lamb of God. You see, it's the Lamb of God. It's only the Lamb that God will accept as atonement for the sacrifice for my sin. Only the Lamb. And Jesus Christ, we find Him as the Lamb of God. In the book of Hebrews, in the book of Exodus, I should say, in Exodus chapter 12, I introduced to you the Lamb of God as the Lamb once offered as a means of deliverance from sin. Why, I thank God for this one, amen. I want you to see here in Exodus chapter 12, verse 1, the Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying," while they were still in Egypt, Egypt represents the lost condition of every man and woman, boy or girl, before they accept Christ. Why? Because Egypt represents bondage to sin in the world. You see, "I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see." Listen, to be saved means to be set free from the bondage of sin. You're no longer a servant of the devil. You're no longer a servant of the world. You're no longer a servant of the flesh. You're saved. You're delivered from that. Amen. You're set free from it. I thank God this morning for so great salvation that set me free from sin. I'm no longer subject to the works of the flesh, but the Spirit of God dwells in me. The Bible says you shall know the truth, and the truth is what allows you to be free, what gives you freedom. Our freedom is in the truth of the Word of God and the fact that we've been set free by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm His and He's mine. I was subject to sin. I was sold under sin. I was a slave to sin. But because of Jesus, I've been set free from sin. Amen. I've been delivered. Sin ultimately will drag your soul to the eternal torments of hell. But the very moment you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, the chains are broken off. Amen. And you're set free from sin. And you're free to live for God for all of eternity. Never again to be bound by sin. You're free. Amen. And the children of Israel, no, don't be mistaken, they were in great bondage in Egypt. They were in great affliction in Egypt. The Egyptian leadership had got to the place where they had come to. They were killing the babies, the male babies. They were intimidated by the birth rate of the Egyptians. Amen. Nothing wrong with a good birth rate. That intimidates the devil. Amen. But listen, they were intimidated by that, and they began to kill the babies in Egypt. They began to murder the babies and get rid of them, and the Egyptian and the children of Israel were in hard bondage, and God saw it, and God said, I'm going to free my people. And I want you to know this morning that God doesn't want you bound in sin. The Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. Listen, hey, God doesn't want you. You say, preacher, I'm not in sin, but He doesn't want you bound by the fear of eternity. He doesn't want you bound by the fear of uncertainty of what's going to happen when you die. He wants you to live free to the reality that your home is in heaven and you don't have to be a bondage bound by the fear of what's going to happen if you don't wake up in the morning. Amen. It's a sweet, wonderful freedom to go to sleep at night knowing that if you never wake up down here, you're going to be in heaven for eternity with God. Amen. What a wonderful freedom it is that Christ gives us. The Bible says, this month shall be unto you, in verse 2, the beginning of months. I like that, amen? Life doesn't begin till you get saved, till you get born again. That's when life begins. It shall be the first month of the year to you. He says, speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man. And if you wouldn't mind, if you got a pen, if you'd like to, circle those two next words, a lamb. Or just take note of them if you don't want to mark. Just see the words, a lamb. Every man, a lamb. Every man, a lamb. According to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. Every house, a lamb. Verse number 4. And if the household be too little for the lamb. I want you to notice that two little words there, the lamb. The Bible says, if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your account for the lamb. Notice the lamb. Note that in your Bible, the lamb. Then verse number 5, note these two words, says, your lamb. He went from a lamb to the lamb. Now we're talking about your lamb. Amen? Boy, listen. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male. Sound familiar? Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it from the sheep or from the goats. The Bible says that Jesus was a friend of sinners. The Bible says the common people heard Him gladly. The Bible says He was crucified between two thieves. Amen. Listen, hey, they all of Jesus' life long, they ridiculed His heritage, who He really was. They tried to say He was illegitimate. Even after they died, the false theologians today preach it, that He was the son, an illegitimate son of a German slave that came through and impregnated Mary, and Joseph covered it up. What a lie of the devil. What a lie of the devil. They've always attacked the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Bible says here that He'd be a male lamb, that the first He would be without blemish, and He would be taken from among the sheep or from among the goats, the Bible said. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. What an incredible parallel. Can I tell you tonight that Jesus Christ was taken and observed for 4 days before He was crucified? He was taken and observed for 4 days, and Pilate, the great judge, as Jesus stood in Pilate's judgment hall, He said these words, I find no fault in Him. More than once He spoke the words, I find no fault in Him. Why? Because He was a lamb without spot or blemish. Amen. There was no fault in Him. For 4 days, He was observed by the enemy. For 4 days, He was ridiculed. And in those 4 days, not one sin could ever, not one mark could be placed against Him. Not one reproach. The accusers came, but nothing stuck. Amen. There was no mark that could be placed against Jesus Christ. Why? Because when He went to the cross, He had to be innocent so that the innocent could become guilty in place of our sin. You see, the Bible says, And they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts on the upper door of the house wherein they shall eat it. And I've showed you this before, but it was to go on the upper part of the door on the two side posts. And there you have the cross where Jesus Christ died. You see, understand this morning as I hasten into the message, not to keep you long, but understand this, that He's the once offered lamb. You see, there's only one time, amen. You only have to be saved one time. Hey, you can only be saved one time. There's no account anywhere in all of Scripture where anybody got saved a second time. You only got to be saved one time. Thank God that Jesus Christ once bore my sins on Calvary. Amen. Listen, hey, if you're free this morning, you've been set free. You didn't just get free. You didn't work your way free. You couldn't work your way free. You couldn't get free. You were bound. But it had to be that Jesus Christ delivered you from your sin. When the children of Israel would cross over the Red Sea and leave the bondage of Egypt, when they went to the other side, they would have to acknowledge the fact that it was God that brought them over. Amen? You say, preacher, is it possible for someone to be saved and not know it? Absolutely not, as far as I'm concerned. Amen? It's impossible to be saved and not know you're saved. Amen? People say, I hear that every once in a while, and I always cringe when I hear it. I have no Bible that backs it up. I think it's just something somebody said once, and some people passed it along, friend. Listen, there's no way in the world that God Almighty can move into your life and you not know somebody's there. Amen? As a little boy, and y'all have heard me tell this, went to church, and man, he got saved, and he come home, and his mama, he rode the bus, and his mama didn't go to church with him, and she had heard the Bible, she knew she ought to be in church, and that night he went to bed, and he's scared of the dark. And mama said, now son, it's time to go to bed. And he said, okay, mama. And she started out, and she shut the light out. And he said, now wait a minute. He said, wait a minute. He said, you know I'm scared of the dark. And she said, well, son, you ought to be okay now. You're saved. Jesus is with you. God's with you. You told me you're saved and everything will be all right. And he said, I reckon so, Mama. He said, I reckon you're right. He said, that is, He is with me. And she stepped out and left the door cracked, and he commenced to pray. And when she walked out, and he said, dear God, he said, I am saved. I know I'm saved. He said, I know you're in here with me. He said, whatever you do, don't be moving around. He said, it'll scare me plumb to death. Listen, there's no way in the world that God can move into your life and you not know it. Amen? There's no way. You say, preacher, I'm sitting here this morning and I don't know like some people seem to know. And I wonder, well, am I saved or am I not saved? Or could I possibly be and just not know it? Listen, if you're saved, you know it. Amen? And it's not for me to judge or it's not for me to say. But if you're saved, you know it. Why? Because you know, listen, it's not a feeling, but it's the fact. But the fact creates a feeling in that it's that assurance that only Jesus can bring. No, it doesn't mean you're perfect. It doesn't mean that you live a sinless life. It doesn't mean that you always do everything just right. But the fact is you've accepted what Jesus Christ did as being all that could be done. Amen. And you accepted Him and you trust in Him and you believe in Him. And there was a time and there was a place when you accepted once for all what Jesus Christ did on Calvary. And you accepted that as for the salvation of your soul. You see, all that matters to God, it's not my good works. It's not my good deeds. All that matters to God is have I accepted the Lamb. So, preacher, I believe He's a Lamb, but is He your Lamb? So, I believe He's the Lamb. I believe He's the only way of salvation, but is He your Lamb? Have you ever accepted Him personally for your salvation? Has there ever been a time or a place where you accepted Him as your Savior? Mom mentioned Kayla. Kayla wants to get baptized. And she told me she's been saved. And I asked her, I said, how do you know you're saved? She said, you saved me. I said, wait a minute. I said, who saved you? I want to make sure she understands. And listen, hey, and if the time ever come when my children said to me, Daddy, I don't know. I don't understand. I don't know. Listen, hey, and I'll talk to them. And why? Because there's nothing any more important than that. Amen. And listen, hey, and so far I haven't been able to talk her out of it. Not that I want to talk her out of it, but I want to make sure she understands. But I do believe a child can understand. Amen. I do believe that a little child, I don't believe salvation is hard. Amen. I think all you need to realize is that you need a Savior and that there is a thing called sin and that we're born sinners and we need a Savior and Jesus Christ died to set us free. And if you'll accept Him, you can be free. Amen. I'm glad this morning that I can say this because of the Lamb of God, I'm free. I've been set free. Heaven is my home. I don't ever have to worry about going back to Egypt again. I'm free. Amen. I'm not the devil's child anymore. I belong to God and He belongs to me. And it's all because of Jesus Christ set me free. Amen. He's the Lamb. If you'll turn over in Exodus chapter number 29, if you'll look there just for a minute. Exodus chapter number 29, verse 38. Exodus 29, verse 38. Look what the Bible says. Now this is that which thou shalt offer upon the altar. Two lambs of the first year, day by day, continually. And the Bible says here, two lambs of the first year, day by day, continually. Well, that's a lot of lambs. That's a lot of sacrifice. That's a lot of work, amen? I mean, you're talking about a whole lot of labor and a whole lot of work to keep things right. A lot of times people say, I can't get saved because I can't keep myself saved. I can't keep it up. I can't do it. Boy, under those conditions, it looks rough. I mean, it's one thing to take a lamb and put it up once and have that atone for your sin. But here the Bible says, two lambs. The Bible says, the one lamb thou shalt offer in the morning, and the other lamb thou shalt offer at even. And with the one lamb, a tenth deal of flour mingled with the fourth part of a hin of a beaten oil, and the fourth part of a hin of wine for a drink offering. And the other lamb thou shalt offer at even, and shalt do thereto according to the meat offering of the morning, and according to the drink offering thereof, for a sweet savor, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, where I will meet you to speak there unto thee. You say, preacher, that's what they had to do to stay in fellowship? Yeah. They had to stay in fellowship. They had to do that very thing. I mean, it was a daily routine, a daily ritual that had to take place in order for them to maintain fellowship. You say, preacher, under those circumstances, how can I stay right with God? I got good news for you. In Hebrews, the Bible says, in Hebrews chapter number 7, I believe I told you, and in verse number 8, the Bible says, in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 23, look what the Bible says. Hebrews 7, verse 23. The Bible says in verse 23, and they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. And he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Verse 26 says, for such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than heaven. Stop just for a minute. You say, preacher, I'm saved, but I can't say that I'm always holy. I can't say that I'm always harmless. I can't say that my mind is always undefiled. I can't say that I'm always as I ought to be, separate from sinners. And I can't say that I'm always made higher than the heavens. There are sometimes I feel like I'm higher than the heavens. There are sometimes maybe I feel holier than other times. There are sometimes I feel like a better Christian than another time. But you say, I can't do that all the time. I can't maintain that. Well, guess what? I got good news for you. The Bible says, for such an high priest. Not talking about you, it's talking about him. It's talking about Jesus Christ, amen? Now listen, the Bible says, verse 27, who needeth not, what's the next word? Daily. Who needeth not, Hebrews 7, verse 27, who needeth not daily, as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath which was since the law maketh the Son who is consecrated forevermore. Say, preacher, what in the world does that mean? It means this. It means that Jesus Christ is our morning and our evening lamb. Say, preacher, what does that mean to me? That means he's your everyday, daily, he's your sacrifice. Amen? You say, listen. You say, but I just don't, as a Christian, I feel like I'm not where I ought to be. And the answer to that is none of us are where we ought to be. Amen? You say, but preacher, I just don't feel like I'm in fellowship the way I ought to feel like. Well, listen, here's the answer to that is, as Christians, we ought to be right, and we ought to do right, and we ought to strive to be holy. Amen? And we ought to be consecrated. You say, preacher, how in the world do I consecrate myself? It's God that consecrates you. But He uses His Word to do it. Amen. As you read the Word of God, if you'll just, you don't have to understand it. There's a misnomer that thinks you got to understand everything you read. You know what? You can't, and neither can I. I can't. My kids don't understand me. They think I'm insane. And your kids didn't understand you. And when you were a child, you didn't understand your parents. Think about it just for a minute. They told you not to put your finger in the light socket. That didn't make sense to you. They told you, my mom always told me that her parents told her, don't go play at the river till you learn to swim. Stay away from the water. And that don't make sense to me. Stay away from the water till you learn to swim. How in the world are you ever going to learn to swim if you don't go near the water? Amen. But we as parents say things, and a parent will tell their child something, and it makes no sense at all to the child. It makes perfect sense to you and I, but it makes no sense to them. It's not for it to make sense, it's for us to listen and obey. The happy child is the child that hears the instructions of righteousness and obeys what they're taught, not the one that understands it. You'll understand it someday. Understanding comes after adherence and obedience. Understanding comes after adherence and obedience. Don't say, I'm not ever going to do anything until I understand it. Okay? Then it's tax season coming up, all right? I don't know the tax code. Y'all read all that, amen? Understand every bit of it before you pay your taxes, and I'll come visit you in jail, amen? Listen, hey, that's why they got people that do understand it, and they don't even understand it, amen? But brother, listen, hey, and I'm not talking about like they said with the health care law, you know, pass it and then read it and understand it. I'm not talking, that was, but listen, it's the same thing, though, with the Bible. With the Bible, the key is to read it and obey it, and God will give you understanding. Listen, it's a wonderful, the Word of God, the Christian life is a wonderful thing. Hey, some of you that are married, you learned this, you was in love, and you wanted to get married, and you thought you knew everything there was to know about the person you were marrying. It was just a matter of saying, I do, and I do, and I know everything, there's no more secrets, and everything's going to be wonderful. And you found out, amen? And you're still figuring it out, and you're still learning. There's always more to figure out and always more to learn and listen and it's all and there's a but the key is you stick with it and just try to figure things out, try to work through things and try to learn and keep going and trying to figure things out. But I'm gonna tell you, it's a wonderful thing in the Christian life to walk with God and to learn about Him day by day. And I'm so glad that there's no pressure to maintain my salvation as I learn about Him. You see, the truth of the matter is, in my Christian life, like your Christian life, save maybe a few folks in here that have never sinned, raise your hand if that's you, but the rest of us, there's been times we failed, and there's been times we faltered, and the old devil would come along and say, you may as well give up, there's no use trying. You just made a mockery of yourself and a reproach of yourself, and you tried and you failed, and you said a bad word, or you had a bad thought, or you done this. You may as well just give up. There's no use for you. I got good news for you. Hey, listen, hey, there's a God in heaven lets you know when you're wrong. Thank God for that. Amen. And I'm glad for the chastening of God. Amen. But I'm glad that with that chastening comes the assurance that I'm a son. Amen. And the reason why He chastens me and corrects me is because I'm His son. And I don't have to earn my sonship every day. Amen. I don't have to merit my sonship. I've been born once into the family of God. And daily, and morning and evening, the Lamb of God that was slain before Jesus Christ, He is my salvation in the morning, and He's my salvation in the evening. Amen. I wake up saved, and I go to bed saved, all because of Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen, I may do a lot of things, or I may do a few things, or whatever it is along the way that are not right, but I'm glad to know when I go to sleep tonight, I'll go to sleep saved because of the Lamb that was slain, Jesus Christ. And when I wake up in the morning, I'm going to wake up saved. And throughout the day, it's not me that keeps my salvation secure, but it's Jesus Christ that keeps it for me. There'll not be a day come that what I don't go to sleep saved and wake up saved. Why? Because Jesus Christ is my dual lamb. He's the lamb slain in the morning. He's the lamb slain in the evening. Amen. He's the lamb. He's my delivering lamb. He's the Lamb that was slain to signify my deliverance. It was because Jesus died for sin, I don't have to die and suffer for my sin. That's why we preached last week. Once you live this life. You said, preacher, we're all going to die according to the Bible. We're not. He that liveth and believeth in Jesus shall never die. Amen. It's just going to be one step here. I've been delivered from death. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin and the law and the grave and all those things. But Jesus Christ has given us victory over that. Amen. I'm going to heaven when I die. I'll be more alive then than what I am now. Say, but preacher, I just can't live it. I'm just going to give up. My mind is filled. And I'm not preaching hard and fast to you this morning. I'm just trying to preach to you. Listen, this is an exciting message. The Word of God ought to stir our hearts. Amen. The truth ought to stir our hearts. Listen, I ought not to have to be able to... I can't stir anybody up. Either you hear the truth and it stirs you or whatever else. But it's a wonderful thing to me to know that I'm not in a religion. Amen. I'm not in some religion where I'm trying to maintain something. It's already been maintained. Amen. Y'all drive a car that you got to maintain. You got a home that you got to maintain. You got a checkbook that you got to maintain. Listen, hey, you got a job that you wonder about every day. Will it be there? But thank God, listen, sometimes your marriages, sometimes they struggle and you wonder, can we maintain this thing? Can we maintain this thing? Listen, thank God, when it comes to your eternal salvation, you don't have to maintain it. Amen? It's been maintained. It's kept up by Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost of God. Listen, He's the one that maintains it. All you have to do is trust and obey. Oh, listen, it won't seem right if you don't do right. If you don't walk with Him and talk with Him and spend time with Him, the old devil will come along and he'll tell you you're not saved. He'll tell you you don't belong, but that's a lie. Listen, that's why I tell you, that's why I say to you, every day of your life is a good day because of Jesus Christ. And if He's your lamb slain in the morning and your lamb slain in the evening, don't you think we ought to recognize Him morning and evening? Don't you think we ought to acknowledge Him throughout the day? I mean, shouldn't we give Jesus more than just one day a week? Shouldn't we acknowledge Him every day? When you wake up in the morning, this seems simple, but when you wake up in the morning, acknowledge Him in prayer and say, dear Jesus, help me today. You say, preacher, I'm going to live the Christian life. I'm going to strive to do better. You can't do it without Jesus. So you wake up in the morning and say, dear Jesus, I thank You for Your Holy Spirit that dwells within me. Help me today. Help my tongue. Guard my tongue. Guard my mind. Guard my actions. Guard my footsteps. Help me, Lord. Help me today. I can't do it without You. And you'll find the days when you begin with Jesus like that, you'll be able to bow your head at night and say, thank You for a good day today, Lord. Thank You that heaven's my home. Lord, I realize that I failed You some today, but thank You, Lord, for a good day. Thank You for Your blessings today. Thank You for my home. Thank You, Lord God, for a place to lay down and sleep tonight. And you'll be able to close your eyes and rest and then wake up in the morning and say, thank You, Jesus, for a new day. Say, preacher, you do that all the time. Oh, there's some times I fail, but those are bad days. I'm going to tell you what, every day you acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? He's the Lamb slain once as your deliverer. He's the Lamb slain morning and evening. He's the morning and evening Lamb. He's the daily walk with God. You can't walk with God without Jesus. Revelation chapter 5, last of all, and we'll be on our way. I tell you, the Lord just laid on my heart here in the last few weeks to preach to you about Jesus. And if the thought of Christ can't stir you, then nothing can stir you. Amen. You say, preacher, you need to find a more stirring sermon. You may make up one. What is there any more stirring than the Lord Jesus Christ? Some of you been sick and there's some religions, there's some people out there say, well, if I tell you, bless God, if you don't read your Bible and pray every day, and if you miss a church service, you better check it up and make sure you still got it. Thank God I got it, amen. And I ain't checking it up, amen. I ain't going to run around all the time checking to see if it's still there or not, amen. That's right. But listen, since I started carrying a billfold when I was a little boy, and man, I got in the habit of it. Hey, listen, first thing I do when I get out of the shower and put my pants on, put my billfold in, because I'll be feeling for it the rest of the day, amen? If it ain't there, I ain't right. I mean, listen, something's got to, the last thing I do, lay it down. It's got to be, I don't care if it's empty or not, it's still got to be there, amen? But listen, but I'm glad my salvation isn't that way. I don't check to see if it's there. I rejoice when I stop to consider that it's always there, amen? Listen, I don't say, boy, I hope it's there. Listen, there's been times I've lost it. Just like them keys, I don't mean mentally lost it, them keys that Mom's talking about. I'm trying to think, what jacket did I wear and who got them? And ultimately, it has to be Jessica's fault or one of the kids' fault. That's a good thing about having a lot of people in your house. You don't ever have to take the blame for anything, amen? I grew up, I was the youngest in the house. Everything was my fault. It's amazing how blame channels down in my house. Bub, Travis, number one, the girls did it. Caleb, the girls did it. And when Curtis grows up, right now he's example. Curtis did it. I can just hear it. Listen, it's always the little, always channels down. But I'm glad I don't have to check. I've never been a time. I don't have to check to see if Jesus is still there. I don't have to say, am I still saved? Listen, I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. I know I'm secure in Him. It's not religion. It's salvation. Amen. Look what the Bible says here. And I like this. Revelation chapter 5. The whole verse, the whole chapter is designated to Jesus, to the Lamb. Look what it says. And I saw in the right hand of Him. Before I started, I was about to choke to death. Now I'm about to puke, so I'm taking that coat off too. I'll stop right here, as far as I go. Tonight I'll preach in my t-shirt. And I saw on the right hand of Him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a Lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And He came and took the book out of the right hand of Him that sat upon the throne. And when He had taken the book, the four beasts and the four elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, thousand, and thousands of thousands. That's a lot. You know who John saw there? He saw me, and he saw you. Prophetically, John saw me, and he saw you. And you know why we were there? Because of the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. You know why we were there? What we were there to do? At this point in time, we were there for one reason, one reason only. And that was to give glory and honor and praise to the Lamb. Look what the Bible says. Saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Who is he this morning? He's the once offered Lamb. He's the Lamb of our deliverance. Who is he this morning? He's the morning and the evening Lamb. He's our daily sacrificial Lamb. Amen. Listen, every day I'm saved and kept saved because of Jesus Christ. Say, who is he? He's the everlasting and eternal Lamb. He's the Lamb that controls my destiny. Amen. He's the Lamb that purchased my deliverance. He's the Lamb that secures me daily. And he's the Lamb that determines my destiny and that controls my destiny. My destiny is in the hands of Jesus Christ. My destiny is in the wounds that was pierced, where the spear pierced his side. My destiny rests in the crown of thorns placed upon his head and the blood that was shed. My destiny rests upon what Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, did at Calvary. He was led, the Bible says, as a sheep before his shears is dumb. The Bible says that all we like sheep have gone astray. We turn everyone into his own way. But the Bible says it pleased the Lord to bruise him. The Bible says by his stripes we're healed. You ever think about it this morning? You're going to be in heaven forever and ever and ever. And you won't be there because you're a Baptist or a Church of Christ or at Pentecost or anything else. That's why you folks come here to this church. You don't hear me up here. I don't have one sermon designated just to espouse Baptist history. I thank God for Baptist history. But when it comes to preaching time, that's the reason we don't have politicians standing in the pulpit. That's the reason we don't have a bunch of fair speeches. When it comes to preaching time, I believe with all of my heart that the theme of the church ought to be the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. There's not a sermon that we can waste, not a Sunday that we can waste. We need to get to the house of God and hear about the Lamb. Amen. He's the Lamb that purchased my deliverance. He's the Lamb that secures me daily. And he's the Lamb that determines my destiny. Say, preacher, I always heard that you're going to hold a great balance. And all my good works would be placed on one side and my bad works on the other. And whichever one tipped the scales, and if the good outweighed the bad, then I'd get to heaven. You know, folks believe that. Folks believe that. Here's what I believe. I believe on the right hand of God stood the Lamb, and on the left hand, fallen man. And I believe that on Calvary, all of man's sins were placed on Jesus. And Jesus bore them to Calvary. And at Calvary, he washed them all away. He buried them in the deepest sea so that when I stand before God, all my sins are gone. When the devil, the Bible says he justified us. When the accuser of the brethren comes and says, I want to accuse him of his sin. What sin? There is no sin. All I see is my son. I don't see any sin. All I see is the blood that was shed. And we'll fall down and say, worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. You see, with me or anybody with good sense, it's not about what religion do you belong to. What do you believe? All that matters is, do you know the Lamb? A Lamb. The Lamb. But is he your Lamb? John said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. John was a full-fledged Jew, but he didn't say he came to take away the sins of the Jews only. The Bible says all nations, all tongues, all kindreds. I got a message from a young man I met in Bible college named Benny LaRue. Benny, I think, is from Romania. I hadn't seen or heard from him for years. I saw in his picture he had a family and so forth now, and what a fine young man he was. It amazes me today as I stand here that God didn't just save people with the American tongue and dialect, but all over the world, The blood of Jesus Christ, the gospel message, has reached this entire world. And as I stand here in the darkest jungles of Africa, imprisoned continent of Asia, somebody's preaching the gospel. And right now, somebody's bowing their head, getting saved. And somebody's accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior. One time a fellow went to an African continent. There was a tribesman there that had been saved, and now he was a preacher. He was trying to preach and trying to tell the people, and another tribesman came and said, what does it mean to be saved? I don't understand. Show me, what does it mean? And the fellow took some leaves and he piled the leaves up, and he took a stick and put down in the stick, and he reached up in a tree and put a little caterpillar from the tree and put it on the stick and amid all the in the circle around the leaves. And he got some fire from off the fire and he put it around the leaves, and the leaves began to burn. And they were burning closer and closer in to where the little caterpillar would be burned up. Then the man walked over and he reached down. He picked the stick up. He picked the little caterpillar out and he set him up on a tree. And he said, that's what Jesus Christ did for me. He delivered me from the fire and he set me free. We rejoice today. You're saved today. You'll be saved tonight. You're saved eternally because of Jesus Christ. There's no religion in all the world that offers such a guarantee. None. But Jesus Christ is not a religion. He's the Lamb. The Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day you've given us. Thank you for your blessings. God, I pray that if there's one here this morning not saved, or if there's a Christian here discouraged and ready to give up, Lord, help us to just learn to acknowledge the Lamb. Lord, before we turn on the television and before we pick up the newspaper and before we carry on anything else, God, help us to take time and acknowledge the Lamb. At nighttime, Lord God, let us be Christians that daily acknowledge the Lamb. And our lives will be different, dear God, because our eternity is made different because of Jesus. Our daily lives will be different also. And God, help us, Lord, to be transformed people as we live according to the Lamb of God. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Would you stand this morning? If you're one here this morning and you don't have that assurance, why don't you get it settled this morning? And say, dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I believe you're the Savior of my sin. I believe you died to set me free. And I want to have that assurance, and I accept you as my Savior. And if you've never done that, you look to Jesus today, and he'll save you, and he'll accept you. If you need to come, you come this morning as the music plays and the Lord speaks to your heart.